Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about some of our favorite new RV models for 2016. After touring hundreds of campers, poring over brochures, and peppering manufacturers' reps with questions, we came up with six RVs that stand out in the crowd.
From travel trailers to fifth wheels, from Class C's to Class A's, we are covering a variety of types and price points. Listen to see if any of these 2016 highlights pique your interest.
Plus, we will give our best tips for unpacking the RV after a camping trip. It may not be our favorite chore, but we have figured out a few things that make it a bit easier.
You might think it is the same old out there in RV land, but we here at RVFTA found some new features that could make a big difference. You are listening to episode 61, Six RV Picks for 2016. Before we head into this week's feature topic, six RV picks for 2016, we've got to have our RVFTA news roundup. What do you got?
To start out with, I have something exciting. We're so pleased to welcome our brand new sponsor to the show, RV Trader.
A big welcome to RVTrader.com. So if you're looking to find a new RV or you want to sell your RV, visit them at RVTrader.com. You can get started on that process, right?
Yep.
And all RV owners are looking to sell their RVs and buy new RVs all the time. We're all always shopping.
Not all of them, but many of
most,
them.
Most. Mm-hmm. Most. Now, you wanted to talk about our newsletter.
Sure. So just we followed this up from last week. We said it last week, too. And I think a couple people got the memo and went over there and signed up. Go over to RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. There's a little box on the side. Bar. It says enter your email address. You get the blog updates and you get the weekly newsletter. And that is where any important information about our rallies or our speaking engagements or our publications, like if we have an article somewhere out there on the web, that's where you find out about it.
Say when our book comes out for Penguin
exactly.
Random House. We'll probably drop that in a newsletter for you.
Yeah, or one or two or three.
But you do a good job of putting it all together in one place. Because
yeah.
Everything else is a little, you know, somewhat fragmented. The newsletter pulls it all together.
Well, it sure is, because we really do write more for other people than we write for ourselves.
So, yeah.
So, we really like a lot of the articles that we write for KOA and Progressive.
And we don't want you to miss
Sam.
Them.
Right. And so, if you get that newsletter, then it'll say those like tips and tricks articles and everything that are out there, and you can just click on it and go read it at that spot. So
Okay. Head
on over there and sign up for it. It's useful.
Great. Now, REI has got us all inspired mm-hmm. to opt outside. On
yeah.
Black Friday, we're going to be visiting the mall,
mm-hmm.
not the shopping mall. The mall in Washington, D.C.
It's like a little bit of
which
a
is
pun.
It is a little punny. That's a little punny. It is an NPS site.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we went there for Thanksgiving last year, and we're really pumped to be going back to D.C. on an RV trip for Thanksgiving again. And we will be opting outside on Black Friday.
Right. So let's clarify. We did not go there on Thanksgiving. We've never.
True. We went there last November.
Right.
Sorry.
It was November, though.
Totally
it was
true. It was November.
Thanksgiving. But I just want to say, because at another time, we're probably going to be like, oh, we've never camped on Thanksgiving. And people are going to be like,
you're such a liar.
Yeah. Mixed messages.
But we did go last November.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
And it's really, it's become
trip.
A great November RV trip for us, because
mm-hmm.
all the RV parks and campgrounds pretty much close
right.
around us around October 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of discovered last year, like, hey, down by D.C. in Maryland, the campgrounds are open still mm-hmm. and they have full hookups still.
Right. I guess we'll have to see. Right.
I think that Cherry Hill, where we're going, mm-hmm. pretty much guarantees they're going to have their full hookups.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
They do.
All right. Good. I'll appreciate that. I always appreciate my full hookups. So we are going to be hashtagging RVFTA opt outside. Now we'll also just do the hashtag opt outside, but RVFTA opt outside will let us see what you guys are doing outside on Black Friday, and we will regram those on our Instagram.
Yeah, we're not trying
all day
to
long.
Steal REI's
no.
thunder. And if any REI execs out there listening, don't panic.
Don't panic.
Okay, we're not trying to steal your hashtag. All right. We want to share the photos, really, is the point. And so
we want to see our listeners.
Let's see what you're doing.
So we're just going to regram all day long. Like, we'll also be doing our sightseeing, but we'll just kind of get on there and we'll be regramming so that everybody can kind of share how they're opting out.
Sounds like fun.
And it'll be fun. Yeah, it will be fun. All right.
So what is next in the news roundup? We had some new iTunes reviews. I've said it before. They're like Christmas presents.
Yes, you have said it before.
I will confess, I do check once or twice a week to see if we're getting new ones.
Because you want your Christmas presents.
And because you want to read them on the show.
You know, it's interesting. I find that our reviews are oftentimes stories for us about our listeners. And we get emails that are like this also. But I think that maybe some podcasts out there just have reviews. If you look through them, it's like, oh, I really like this show, or this is what's good about this show. Our listeners tend to tell us a lot about why they listen to our show and what they like about it in the reviews. So I really like sharing them because I feel like it says something about our listeners.
You've said this before too. We like getting emails. We love getting emails, and we love seeing these reviews. It does help us understand what you're excited about the show and what kind of content you're interested in. So if there's like a certain area of content that you really love, drop us an email or write about it in a review, because we do pay attention to what people are saying in terms of what they want.
Absolutely. It helps shape our content quite a bit. So I love the first one that I'm going to read because it was a 5-star review entitled Sad. ... And then I was like, what? And then Divine, HRN, said, sad that after binge listening to the first 50-something NPR quality podcast, I'm now having to wait for weekly releases.
So sorry.
Oh, you have to wait for weekly releases. I find this podcast fun and informative. I enjoy they cover a wide variety of camping topics. Thank you for an entertaining weekly adventure.
Thank you for the review. And I appreciate that you noticed that we cover a wide variety of topics, because I think for both of us, it's a big goal that the Atlas part of RV Family Travel Atlas is going to take you to a lot of places, show you a lot of things, discuss a lot of topics. And we are ambitious. We do want to cover the camping industry, the RV industry, and family travel in a pretty comprehensive way.
Yeah. I think we both, obviously, we have an English background. We have a writing background. I think we see this as sort of our own little RV news magazine, like a magazine that's sort of a lifestyle magazine.
It's like an old-fashioned lifestyle magazine, but it's a podcast.
Yeah. And we're just talking through our articles.
It doesn't come in the mail, but it comes to your phone.
Yeah. So then another review was really exciting for a couple of different reasons. So Susan wrote, and she titled her review, "Thank you for all the great information." And again, that makes us really happy because we're providing information.
And I must say, thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
For the review.
Thank you. So she wrote, "I just recently started listening to your podcast and I really enjoyed it. I'm listening to the current ones while catching up on the old ones." And I like that. She's like doing double duty. It's like,
that's the best strategy I've heard yet, because the pure binge listener does miss out on contests, on rally information. And the person who doesn't go back into the archives, as it were, misses out on those chestnuts and those classic episodes.
Okay. The classics.
So Susan has got this figured out.
Okay, so Susan said, "I am one of the listeners without an RV. I decided last month to pay off my debts and get an RV to travel around the United States. I am an RN and I work from home reviewing medical records, so I can do that anywhere I get the internet. So I'm going to become a digital nomad." That is so cool to hear. I really hope that, you know, Susan, that you just have a fantastic time. I love the fact that you realize that you could do something a little more flexible with your work and you're just dreaming something and you're going to do it. I really admire that.
Sounds good to me.
So then she wrote, "I don't have any children and it will be just me and the road. So I was glad to hear about the girl camper going places, doing things."
Girl camper, going places, doing things. And boy, oh boy, are we tortured around here at RVFTA headquarters waiting for this thing to come out.
Right. So Susan wrote, "I keep checking for the new podcast."
And so do I, Susan. I check 5 times a day. iTunes, let's snap it up here, man.
Well,
get it going.
So everybody has to know. So it is in the world of iTunes. And this can take anywhere from 72 hours to 2 weeks. And we know that. And
there's some poor guy in a windowless room in California. Where do they make the Apple stuff?
Yeah,
I don't know. What town is that? It says it right
says
back
it's
on
a
the.
It's a city. Cupertino.
Not Cupertino. Like Cupertino. There's some guy in the basement whose job it is to just scan every podcast that's submitted and make sure it's not something like crazy.
I hope he's
And he's behind schedule this week, this guy. Okay?
Maybe he works remotely too. Maybe he's in an RV.
And he has no
somewhere.
Wi-Fi connection. Yeah, he's probably a digital nomad.
Right. And he lost his Wi-Fi.
Either way, by the time this comes out, maybe Girl Camper will be out.
Yeah.
But we're going to let you know loud and proud when Girl Camper drops. We'll let you know on all
Hopefully,
of our social media sites.
Any minute now. So, and then Susan also wrote, thank you for the fire starter tips as well, because I finally was able to light a bonfire without a struggle. Looking forward to your next episode. So thank you, Laura. For the bonfire.
Thank you to Laura.
Fire
and
tip.
If we can help you light a warmer fire in a faster fashion without the struggle, then we're doing our jobs here at RVFTA. We want to make your lives easier.
Right. Tips and
it's
tricks.
Not just about celebrating how cool we are, because
we're not. No.
We want to give you good information.
No hipsters around these parts.
And as much inspiration as we can. So it's a combination of information and inspiration. Thank you, Susan.
Yeah. Thank you, Susan, for that review. I really
Is that it for the news roundup?
Yeah.
I think it is.
So we
will be back in a second with this week's featured topic, 6 RV picks for 2016. And now it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at RVTrader.com.
If you've been dreaming about the perfect RV for you and your family, RV Trader has a ton of resources to help you make the right decision.
With thousands of RVs for sale across the country, finding what you want is easy.
Helpful icons on the homepage will show you the difference between motorhomes, travel trailers, toy haulers, and truck campers. And once you pick the type you're looking for, you can narrow your search by make, model, state, and even price.
Also, if you're looking to upgrade or sell your current RV, RVTrader.com can help you do that too. Millions of local buyers shop every month and will contact you directly if interested in purchasing your unit.
RV Trader has all the tools you need to find and sell your RV. To start your search today, visit RVTrader.com.
So for this week's featured topic, we're talking about 6 RV picks for 2016. 6 units that we have been in and we have loved, correct?
Yeah, or they're doing something a little different, something that seems to address something that was maybe lacking in some other units that we've seen. It does. These aren't necessarily huge differences, right? Some of these models just have important tweaks to floor plans that we noticed and were like, wow, hit a mark.
And sometimes that small tweak can make a big difference in terms of like the livability or the quality of the floor plan. Mm-hmm. So for a few of these, yes, there's some original twists on some classic floor plans. There was one or two of these that just plain old took our breath away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was one or two of these that just might be something really good for us in the future when it's time for a motorhome.
Yeah.
And Stephanie keeps telling me that I ain't getting a motorhome.
Well, we'll say.
So look,
this will be a long-term discussion.
We got 4 travel trailers and 2 motorhomes. And these are all, we're not saying they're brand new for 2016, but they are 2016 models that we've either seen at RV shows or on dealer lots that we really liked and were really interested in some way, shape, or form, correct?
Yep.
So let's start with the StarCraft travel trailer.
Wait, before we dive in, show notes on this episode are maybe a little more important than some of the show notes for other episodes, because when people are talking about floor plans, it can be a little difficult to follow along. What I did was I not only put a link to each of the models that we're talking about, a link to the manufacturer's website, but then I also put in a picture of the floor plan, not the trailer, not the, you know, actual RV, like a picture, but the floor plan.
And then
picture.
A link if you want to click through and see real pictures.
Right.
So in the past, when we've done these types of shows where we're reviewing RVs or we're going over things we've seen at an RV show, we've had people write in and say, hey, you know, we've got to put it together in a post for us. So head over to RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com if you want to follow along while we're talking about these six floor plans, all right? So let's start with a StarCraft travel trailer. Now, StarCraft's been around for a long time. They're owned by Jayco. And just in general, we've liked a lot of what we've seen in StarCrafts lately in terms of entry-level travel trailers.
Yes. So at the last RV show that we were at, we had seen tons of trailers by the time we walked into the StarCraft area. We had been all over, and it just wasn't like at the top of our list to visit. We got to that section, and we started going in some of these different StarCrafts. I feel like by travel trailer number three or four, I was going, they're doing something here.
There's just some creativity in the floor plans, and they're just doing some new things to me that I haven't seen being done somewhere else.
And not just that, but they're doing it at an affordable price point.
And affordable price point is key. Yeah, yeah. Most of these, it's not like every single StarCraft is at an entry-level price point, but a lot of them are.
In general, that's sort of where the brand positions itself, right?
Right. I would agree to that. Mm-hmm. And so the first model we want to talk about, it's the StarCraft AR-1 Max Series. It's the 28 FBS. Yes. And we're just going to give you MSRP tonight because obviously when you go to your local dealer, you're going to haggle and get a great price.
Yeah, but
you're not going to pay MSRP for any of these.
Please don't.
But
that's and if what you do, don't tell you. Us you did.
So this is about $28,000 on the MSRP. So you're going to get it at a better price than that. And there's a couple of things we really liked about this. It's similar to our floor plan of our Jayco travel trailer in the middle section. It's very similar, but then they kind of switched two major things here, and all of a sudden both of us were like, we like this floor plan better than our floor plan.
Yeah.
So what did they change here as opposed to the Jayco White Hawk we have?
So in our White Hawk, you walk in the door, and like many travel trailer bunkhouses, the master bedroom is to your right there by the front door, and the bunkhouse is in the back. This switches it up. This puts the master bedroom at the back and the bunkhouse at the front. Now, the master bedroom in the back has a slide.
And it has what is a pretty substantial slide. So the beds, and because it's just the bed that's sliding out, they can push it out far because it's not that heavy. Mm-hmm. So the bedroom slides out, and it really creates a master bedroom that feels more like the master bedroom on a Class C or moving towards like a fifth wheel master bedroom, where I think one of the major issues with travel trailers that we've talked about before is that the master bedrooms are so tiny and closet-like, and it's really like all the attention gets put on the kids' bunkhouse.
Yeah.
So here you're getting a real bedroom.
Yeah, it's still tight around the sides, but this is a travel trailer. Like, it's not...
But it's got some floor space in front of the bed.
In front. And it also has nice wardrobe space along that wall, because that wall has cabinetry on it. And
that's right.
So it really does give you a little storage there that we don't have in our version.
Oh, this would be a massive improvement for us in terms of our bedroom. And there's a door that goes into the master bedroom.
There's
two
not
doors
just that.
Here.
There's a door that goes into the bunkhouse, too. The bunkhouse is completely, walled off with the door.
Can you lock the kids in it?
I'm sure you can. If these people that designed it have kids, you know.
Yeah. So to the now to the front, to the right, as Stephanie mentioned, instead of turning right and being right in that master bedroom area, you have the quad bunks. Mm-hmm. And I love our quad bunks. Yeah. You know, like we kind of bought our RV for the quad bunks, and it's still my favorite feature. But then I do feel like our bedroom's small, you know.
Yeah.
And this one is not. Mm-hmm. So you have just by swapping those two things around and adding the slide, it's a great floor plan.
And there's no U-shaped dinette.
Stephanie does not like a U-shaped dinette. Now, we could just move the back part out and turn ours into a dinette.
No, it doesn't work better.
Yeah, so anyway, but otherwise, it's roughly the same floor plan we have. The bathroom is a little tiny. Okay, it is not a spacious bathroom, to be fair. But then I like the layout of the rest of it. The dinette faces the sofa. You have a pretty reasonably sized kitchen for a travel trailer of this size. And this is just under 34 feet. So that's another thing I like about it. Because most of the time, when you get a quad bunkhouse, you're you're looking at a 37 footer. That really just seems to be the way they fall. So this
way
is
way too big for us.
Yeah, it's literally too big for our driveway, and I don't really want bigger.
We don't want bigger, no.
So this is a great way to get a quad bunkhouse under 34 feet and have a really spacious master.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just about positive StarCraft is doing the 2-year warranty now, just like Jacob's.
Yes, and I saw that.
So we like that one.
True.
And I also like their quirky advertising. They're kind of playing off the StarCraft name, and a lot of the advertising has to do sort of like aliens and spaceships and the moon and the stars. And I just think whoever's, you know, doing the advertising stuff's having some fun, and the guys designing the floor plans, or the guys and gals, are also having fun designing the floor plans.
We know. We know how it works.
Moving on, okay, to our next travel trailer. This also really impressed us in a lot of ways. And just like that StarCraft, they're taking a really traditional floor plan and just making a couple tweaks, but it changes the game for me.
Right. If you listen to Karen on Voices from Hershey, this is the model that she walked into and that she was talking about on that podcast. So this is the Imagine Towing Light by Grand Design, the 2800 BH.
Yeah, and Grand Design is a new player in the RV industry. Mm-hmm. They're about 3 years old. The three gentlemen that founded the company have a long, long history in the RV industry, so they're new but not new in that sense. But Grand Design's getting high scores, and a lot of people are saying it's a good quality product, and it looked tight to us. Now, this is a really... In some ways, this is a very traditional floor plan.
Mm-hmm.
It has the big slide, and this is, I think, about a 31 or 32 foot travel trailer. It has the really big slide that has the dinette and the couch, which creates all kinds of open floor space.
That's that open floor plan you get in a lot of the models.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie loves that open floor space.
Yeah,
it's something we don't have.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then it has the double over double bunks in the back. And the bathroom, which frankly, if we had two kids, we would have bought this mm-hmm. floor plan in a Jayco at that time. Absolutely.
Yeah, the need for to sleep three kids in designated beds,
because
we like to get designated beds. That really limits your options.
Oh, when you have two kids, you have lots of options. I mean, once you have three kids, it's like there's like two RVs that they can show you.
Right. If you want a designated bed, if you're willing to put someone on the gaucho, then...
Yeah, and then people say it scars the child for life, the kid that has to take the fold down. So now look, what they did on this to just change up this floor plan is they moved the entryway to the rear of the camper.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so traditionally you walk into a travel trailer towards the front and you turn right into the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case here. There's no door there. The door is to the rear. And you enter, and directly to your left are the double over double bunks, and then directly to your right is the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did they do to the kitchen that we both really liked?
Okay. So what they did was they have the whole wall of the kitchen, but then they turned it into an L shape along the wall of the master bedroom, which is towards the front.
Where you normally have that TV.
Yes.
They said, hey, let's not put the TV there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make this an L-shaped kitchen. So it's a very spacious kitchen for a travel trailer of this
size. And it'll also make the people happy that, you know, some people complain, oh, everybody has the same floor plan with the sofa and the dinette. But there's a reason for that. A lot of people don't want their kitchens on a slide. Some people are really picky about that. They say we don't want the part with any plumbing and everything
right.
on a movable slide.
But
so this keeps the kitchen on the side without a slide, and then it you know, curves it around on the L shape.
I think it's brilliant because it makes mom happy and dad happy. They moved the TV so that it's directly across from the sofa and the dinette,
yeah,
which
that's a
men
big thing.
Care about.
You always
don't want to crane our necks to watch TV.
I don't
want to
crane my neck. But then I'm like, you're never watching TV in the camper. Ever.
That's true.
But it's just this idea you have.
But
of
not true for everybody.
Your neck.
But the point is, the TV is like you're sitting and you're facing the TV,
yeah.
which is nice. And then you get it's a substantially by making it that L-shaped kitchen is really substantially bigger than the kitchens mm-hmm. in most travel trailers
now,
of this size.
It's also a door, a wall, and a door then. In front of the master bedroom.
And
I think that that's
door.
Something, right? A sliding, a pocket door. Like, God
a little more
bless
privacy.
The pocket doors in the RV. Like, thank you for the people that are putting them in these RVs. But it is something that I think for a while in the ultralight, in the light campers, it was automatically put
a
up
curtain,
the curtains.
Right.
And I think that there's been a little bit of a backlash against that. And the designers are saying, okay, people don't like the curtains.
In Grand Design's literature, they're saying this is an ultralight, but you're going to have the quality of a heavier camper. And just to have that sliding wood door there, I agree with you. It makes it stand out because there's just so many ultralights that have the curtains, and we feel like we have no privacy from the kids.
Now, and as they get older, that becomes a little more apparent. Now, another point about this, the design is important. The text, all of the materials that have been chosen for this give it more of a contemporary feel. Now, I don't necessarily have a ultra modern design tendency for myself.
But you like it more than a lot of the other kind of RV design, interior design.
It is a refreshing change from the typical fabrics and color schemes that you're getting in some of the other campers. So they are trying to do a more streamlined, more, I would say, classic, contemporary.
And they and Grand Design has a pretty cohesive look as you go from one of their units to the next, all the way up to the luxury fifth wheels. This one, the MSRP is $33,600. So it's coming in, I mean, just to be fair, I think it's coming in at a bit of a higher price point, but then you kind of see why. I think it's pretty apparent why. So again, a traditional floor plan that gets tweaked, and it really makes some big differences, right?
Yeah, and again, I also want to say, yes, it got tweaked, but also design is important, and the fabrics that they are using, the materials that they are using, appeal to a younger clientele. I just really do believe that.
Okay, so great. Now, the next one that took our breath away. We both walked into this and sort of just sighed. You walked in and flopped down on the couch in this. You didn't flop.
I lounged.
You did. You were just lounging. And honestly, this is a family program. You looked like you wanted a cocktail in your hand. So when we walked into the Airstream 30 International. Oh, stop it. Stop it. God. When we walked into the Airstream 30 International Serenity. That's the name of this, the International Serenity. And remember, when we saw this one, we didn't have the kids with us.
No, I was
they didn't walk in. So we did walk in and sense and feel the serenity. And boy, did you love the salsa interior decor.
Yeah, I want to clarify that this was the salsa interior. And the other two, there's two other options for the interior as well. There's oyster and espresso. And I like the oyster, beautiful white, obviously like a pearly white, and the espresso is the dark, dark one, which more coincides with that Grand Design contemporary look to it. Not necessarily my go-to, but this salsa interior, I'm not, if there were a RV out there that said, this is you, apart from any other like trappings of your life, right? The kids, the mess they bring, the chaos they bring. If it were like just me, not me and you, not, you know, just me as an individual, this is my RV.
Right. But if we bought it with our kids, there would be no serenity in it, and there would be real salsa on the decor spilled all over the place.
So beautiful.
Now, we had a little bit of a skerfuffle, you and I, over this model. Because as we were developing this show, Stephanie's looking stunned right now because she does not know what
I'm going to
say.
I was saying
this to me is not a family unit.
Yeah,
it's a unit for two people because there's just the dedicated queen bed and everything else has to be converted. Stephanie says, no, this could be a family unit. I say not so much.
It is not a family unit for us because I already said this one time before with the dedicated beds. There are some people that are like us that say dedicated bed space is a non-negotiable, right? Everybody has their different lists of non-negotiables, but that is not true for everybody. There's a lot of families that are traveling this country in Class A's where they have kids and they have to make beds up on couches and dinettes every night because there's a lot of huge, beautiful Class A's that are not family friendly, like dedicated bed space, family friendly.
The hard part for me, I guess, is that the travel trailer we have now, each boy has a dedicated bed. I have a hard time imagining us moving to something where they didn't, and I think they would protest.
I understand that, and I think that it would not be a good fit for us as a family. But to say that it wouldn't be a good fit for any family, I think is going too far. Because I know that there are people out there with travel trailers, Class Cs, Class As, that do not have dedicated bed space for everybody in their family. And that's okay with them. So as long as you're okay with making up a bed at night or having kids sleeping on the, you know, the sofa or the dinette, then holy cow, this is a beautiful, beautiful, this is the most beautiful Airstream I've ever walked
into. It's a work of art. You know, it's so utilitarian and gorgeous all at the same time.
Can I read the description on the website?
I want you to read the description, but the thing that was the most stunning part of it, I think, to both of us, please feel free if I'm speaking for you. The windows and the natural light in this thing were serene.
Well, and that's part of this design. This is the International. There's a lot of different models within the International line. This is the Serenity. And you're like, well, where did they come up with that name? Well, I think the windows have a lot to do with it. The wraparound windows and the skylight, the light was just pouring into this. We were at an RV show, and I might as well have been in the middle of a national forest. I felt so serene. So anyway, this all happened prior to me seeing this description of the RV, but this is what they have on the website. The International Serenity was designed for those in search of inner peace and the ultimate in relaxation. Every interior shape, surface, and color is designed to soothe the mind and body. Inspired by the elegance of harmonious Eastern design, the Serenity features materials like lemongrass and rice paper that deliver luxury and tranquility. You'll feel its calming spirit the moment you enter.
I need more lemongrass and rice paper in my life. I do.
I don't know what was rice paper in there. All I know is that these people knew what they wanted and they hit their mark. Because I could have stayed in that Airstream for the rest of my life.
We did linger in that Airstream for a while. And we took some pictures in it. We'll have to put those up again.
That's the cover, on the cover of this podcast.
Oh, the picture of you lounging.
And the featured image.
I copped the photos to get all the windows in there. Now, when I'm sitting in this Airstream, I picture myself parking or, you know, camping alongside a rushing river, you know, or next to the ocean even, and looking out those windows and just kind of soaking in the outside while I'm inside.
Sure. You would have a lot more of a motive to be in really beautiful places if you had this camper, right? In our camper, we feel very closed in. Sometimes we don't have a lot of those windows. And in this camper, you're going to say, oh, I need the spot where I have the 360, like, panoramic mountain view with river.
The question that many of our listeners are asking,
what is it?
Is how much does this bad boy cost?
Oh, yeah. It's out of our price range, but it may not be out of yours.
MSRP, I can't even say this number comfortably.
Oh, come on.
$101,520 was the MSRP we found. And I have to say, too, there's a little bit more mystery around Airstream pricing as we were digging around looking for the pricing. And it just seems like, you know, it's high ticket and they want that element of, like, mystery. Like, you got to come to the dealer to find out how much this costs, right?
Yeah,
because once you see it, you love it.
Right.
All right, so let's go to a fifth wheel. And it seems to be like the industry's trending towards luxury in fifth wheel. And so Jayco has launched a few new lines in the fifth wheel. One's called the North Point, one's the Designer, and then the Pinnacle they've had before. But those three are like forming their new luxury fifth wheel line. And so one that really caught our interest, and again, it's not one for us really. But
it would be for me.
Would it be? Okay, okay.
But go ahead.
After the kids,
maybe, though. No.
Oh, okay. All right.
I agree with you on that one, too.
So the Jayco North Point Luxury Fifth Wheel, it's the 377 RLBH. Now, this is a big fifth wheel. I think it's about a 42-footer. And it had a really kind of new, unique design feature that just really caught our interest. What was it about this one that stood out from the crowd?
Yeah, so this is tricky to describe, but I hope that I can do it justice. So just like the typical fifth wheel, you're going to walk in the middle, right, of the fifth wheel. To your right are steps that are going to go up to a master bedroom. to your left, you're going to go into the main living space. Okay, so everybody can get that picture in their head. That is a very typical fifth wheel floor plan.
And just can I add a little to that? So when you go to the left into that main living space, there's a kitchen island and there's two slide outs, okay, that create a massive open floor space area and then lots of kind of wraparound seating and also a fireplace.
Yeah.
All right, and then when you go to the right again, that's where things get interesting.
Okay. So, right. So you're in the middle, right? To your right is the master bedroom. To the left is the living space. Now, as you're going up to your right towards the master bedroom, look off to the side there. And oh my goodness, there's a little bunk.
It's actually, I have to say, it's not quite that little. It's a pretty big, it's one bunk, but it's a pretty big bunk. Two kids could sleep there.
That it was a big bunk. They're calling it a bunk loft. Okay, so it's almost like shoulder height as you're walking up the stairs to the master bedroom. At your shoulder height, there's this bunk.
It's almost kind of like, oh, there's a bed there.
Oh, it's a bunk, right? Now, you thought that the ceiling was low.
A little on the low side. I don't know if the boys would think that.
I didn't feel that way. Okay. I was. You said, oh, this is more of a grandkids staying with us kind of a bunk. Whereas
right.
I felt like, I think the kids would be just fine there. I really did. I was like, oh, look at that. That's great. There was a little bit of storage space around it and everything. So then, all right, so there's the bunk. Well, what's
that's still
under?
Not the real interesting
no.
part, right?
What's under the bunk? Well, go to your left and go down into the kitchen area. Well, look off to the side there. Underneath that loft, that bunk loft, is an entire room.
And when Stephanie says room, I know that sometimes she's like, oh, a bedroom in an RV is like so like a closet. This
it's
is
a
like a room. Our first apartment in Ocean Grove, New Jersey
had a room.
Had
that
a bedroom
size.
This size. Mm-hmm. Yep. So this is actually a really comfortable extra room.
Well, it's set up like an office. So there's a couch.
A work desk.
And then there is this like cupboardy area with a TV and a work desk with a chair there. And I'm telling you, it is a nice work area.
Oh my God.
So if you are like so many people out there that are now sort of traveling a little and also working or maybe able to take some of your work on the road or able to take a longer family vacation because you also can do some work while you're gone, I saw this and I was like, I could do this. You know, we could have a podcast studio in
that room. I was just thinking that could be a comfortable podcast studio.
Absolutely.
With room to lounge and room to work.
Yeah. So then also that couch folds out into a bed.
And that's also on a slide. So that's what creates so much space there is that the couch slides out in that room.
And then there's a flip-up bunk.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like this little bunk room also.
They call it a bonus room.
Yeah.
And there's really a wide variety of things you could use this room for. It could just be, all right, kids, you go hang out and play some games on the floor on there. Mom and Dad want some peace and quiet.
Yeah.
You know, it could just create separation in that sense at different points. It could also serve as like a bedroom for kids.
This is the traditional den.
It is. It's crazy.
They put the den, right? That sounds like I'm like going flashing back to like E.T. in the 80s here. But that's what they did. They took the concept of the den and they put it
and
in the RV.
And it sneaks up on you. Like when you walk in, you don't quite like really realize this room is there until you round the corner and go, oh.
Yeah.
Now, okay, it's 42 feet long at least, I think.
Right.
Right. And the MSRP is 82 grand. This is a luxury fifth wheel. It's like a livable fifth wheel.
Yeah. And you know what? You're right in a way that's not for us. First of all, it's not our price point. Second of all, it's not our, it's not our size. We're saying that we would not want to go over our current size in the low 30s, right? But at the same time, in terms of thinking about if we were in that price point and if we were looking for a fifth wheel and we were looking to get bigger, I don't know that I have ever been in another fifth wheel that I have thought that would be more
and
perfect
particularly
for
because we do work while we travel. We were on the road all summer, but we were working all summer. That room would have been awesome because it's hard to situate ourselves like, okay, where are we working here? We'd have to get the kids totally out of the RV to create a quiet workspace for either of us. Here you wouldn't have to do that.
Yeah.
And look, I would love, I love fifth wheels. I just, we don't have a compelling reason to buy a heavy duty pickup truck.
Right.
You know, and I'm not going to buy one just to buy a fifth wheel.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So you want to talk motorhomes?
Okay.
Even though you say that we may never have one.
I never say never to anything, but what I do say is I have no interest in a motorhome right now.
I had a serious sort of like year-long love affair with the idea of getting a motorhome. And just in recent weeks, I have all of a sudden become infatuated with toy haulers.
And we're not
going to talk toy haulers tonight because right. we're saving it for a whole episode on toy haulers.
Because you're entering into a love affair with toy haulers, so we have to do an entire episode on it.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I just love the idea of throwing all the bikes and kayaks and all that stuff into a toy hauler. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we may stay towable for a long time to come. Mm-hmm. And I also think, you know what, we get a new toy hauler and we buy a new truck and it's the same price as a motorhome. But let's move on.
Wait, I don't want to move on though because I want to mention a comment on Facebook. Did you see the comment on Facebook this week where you were asking what somebody's future RV, you know, purchase is going to be? You posted that.
I did.
Everybody's commenting about what they want in the future. Oh, maybe what they'll upgrade. Somebody commented, I love what I have right now. End of story, right? And then they commented, they replied to their own comment. And I didn't just say that for Stephanie.
I missed that. I totally missed that.
I responded. I said, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
There are probably some listeners out there that are like, Jeremy's just always like pushing people to buy new RVs. He's such a pawn of the industry.
Somebody was like, I know. This is what Stephanie wants here. I'm happy with what I have. You know what? I can pick apart our RV all day long. I could sit there and say, I don't like this, I don't like that. But ultimately, we are in it for how many days this year?
70.
Whatever. And you know what? It does its job.
I love our RV. Yeah. There's things about it I don't like. But right. I just think that that's always going to happen. Exactly. You're going to buy the next one. And once you have it for a while, you're like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Because no RV has everything, unless I guess you want to spend $500,000.
Right. All right, bunny trail.
That was more than a bunny trail. But some of our listeners say that's their favorite part of the show. Now, we have mentioned before that we find Class C floor plans to be boring, mm-hmm. that they don't change much. They don't seem to be evolving, right. and particularly Class C bunkhouse floor plans. Because if we bought a motorhome, it would probably be a Class C bunkhouse. That would mm-hmm. be where we'd look. It would be the right price point for us. But all the manufacturers basically for years have had the same floor plan for the Class C bunkhouse, and it's the double slide. Okay, we're on the curb side. You have the couch that slides out. And then on the door side, you have the bunks that slide out. Mm-hmm. And that's everybody's got that floor plan.
Yeah.
I don't like that for one. I don't like it for one reason, and you don't like it for one reason. Now, let me say why I don't like
it.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Because the bunk beds slide out on the front side. You lose so much awning space. You only get about a 10-foot awning. I want a big honking 16-foot awning to put all the bikes and all the stuff under when it rains.
Right.
So I can't see buying an RV for that price with a 10-foot awning. Mm-hmm. Now, you have a reason. You also really don't like that traditional bunkhouse floor plan.
Well, and it's a deal breaker for me. And that's I don't say that say. About a lot of things, but many of them have the stove, the stovetop cooking area right next to the sofa. And
like really right next to it.
Really right next to it, like inches away from the upholstery of the sofa. And then there's this little like plexiglass splash guard that they put up. And I get it that they're saying nobody does serious cooking in their RV.
But just by putting the splash guard there, they're kind of like saying like, hey, you could get food on your sofa.
It's that Grease. For me is a deal breaker because I do serious cooking in my RV. I try to cook outside as much as possible. I love our outdoor kitchen. I love our grill now. We've really like moved outside a lot. My Dutch oven cooking over the campfire, I do a lot more of. But I want to be able to cook on my stovetop in my RV. We travel enough that that's very important to me. And I do real cooking. I don't just heat
We've had
beans.
People in the industry say, oh, you're one of those people that actually cook in your RV. Frankly, we're just not buying that. Like everybody we know cooks in their RV.
They
Maybe not every meal, but people cook in the RV.
Says people don't use their RV kitchens. I can't.
I don't buy it.
I don't.
I mean, the RV industry in general is constantly pushing how you save money by cooking your own meals.
I know.
And the kitchens are so nice now.
I don't know. It's
so
a deal breaker for me.
I complained a while ago there were no unique bunkhouse floor plans.
So
when we saw one, we thought, we got it. We've got to talk about it. So it's the Four Winds 31E bunkhouse. Okay. Four Winds is owned by Thor, which also owns Airstream. And what they did here, to me, is a game changer. It's not perfect. I feel like maybe it could be improved upon, but I really like what they did. So there's no slide on the entry side, on the door side. Okay, there's no slide at all. So that gives me my big, roughly 16-foot awning, okay, which I really want if I get a Class A. Then on the curb side, it's not a full-length slide. It doesn't run the entire length of the RV, but it comes close enough. I mean, you could practically call it a full-length slide.
Yeah.
So on the other side, on the curb side, the slide contains the couch, the kitchen, the bunk beds, and then the closets for the master bedroom. And because it has so much on it, it doesn't go out that far.
Yeah, it's not the couch. It's the dinette on the side.
Sorry,
out.
Sorry. Okay. The dinette.
But yeah.
And that's a key point here. I just think there's a lot of weight on this slide. Mm-hmm. There's so many things. So it's not going to really go out that far. So it feels a little crammed when you're in it. However, I really like having my awning space back, and I really like moving the bunks to the curbside so the kids aren't sleeping on the side where you're having your campfire or whatever.
Yeah, and it also has the two entries to the bathroom, which is nice for a Class C to have the entry from the master bedroom and to also have the entry from the main living area, which is, you know, not something that you see a lot. Also, I like the fact that the kitchen wraps around. It's not a big, but it gives you a little bit of that L shape in the kitchen that backs up the sink to the dinette. So the stove is nowhere near the dinette.
Right.
The stove is near the sink. Which makes sense to me. It just feels like
it's not a big kitchen, you know, but nor are the other traditional bunkhouse models.
No.
If you get a Class C with a bunkhouse, you're getting a small kitchen. I just hate to say it. You know,
you're getting a small everything. I think that's the thing about
not a
Class
A small bathroom.
A.
No, I have to. I'm sorry. I have to say. This type of Class C, you always get a nice big bathroom compared to what we have.
Yeah.
And the master bedroom's usually always nice. So for me, it's like if we were to jump up from the travel trailer to the Class C, we're getting a much improved bathroom and a much improved bedroom. And then the kids really are the ones that we're compromising in terms of their space. But I love this. It has the bunks and it has the cab over bunk.
Right.
Okay. So, and that means that each of our three boys would have a dedicated mm-hmm. bed and even room to spare with that huge bed over the yep. driving area. So I like this one. The MSRP was $110. And again, you're not going to pay that. I mean, you're going to pay a much lower number. And I think that they score some points for trying something different with the Class C floor plans, which I just have felt like are so stale. Let's move to a Class A.
Okay. All right.
So we liked the Winnebago. where did that come from? The Winnebago Vista, the 31BE. And we both walked into this floor plan and really, really yeah. liked this floor plan. And it's funny because you put these two floor plans side by side, mm-hmm. the Class C we just discussed and this Winnebago, and they're somewhat similar.
One's bigger.
Yeah, the Class A one is bigger, mm-hmm. the slide is bigger, and there's more floor space. So what else did we like about this Winnebago Vista 31BE?
Yeah, so everything that we said about the four winds, with the slide on the curbside and it really running most of the length of the RV.
It's really a full-length slide.
It's the same. It's the master bedroom in the back. The bunks are on that that curbside slide outside, not on the door side that so many of these models have it on. Really, we see that over and over again, okay? Now, so what it does is it basically gives you more counter space. It's the same
substantially,
kitchen. Yeah.
I think substantially more counter space. It's that curved L-shaped kitchen, mm-hmm. but it pushes out into the floor more because yeah. of the slide is bigger.
And I'm okay with that.
Room
you say
for
you
coffee
don't like
machine,
that.
All
exactly.
that stuff. Yeah.
You have your blender. You have your coffee maker. You know, we have our French press we put back there, our grinder. So we have those things that are sitting out on our counter whenever we're camping anywhere. This counter gives us room for all of that. It has the two entry to the bathroom. It has a nice foot shoe locker. God bless the shoe locker.
Yeah, they invented the shoe locker like after we bought our RV. It's like every RV, it's like the day after we bought ours. So like somebody was like, let's put shoe lockers in the RVs. It's amazing. I don't know if RV owners who have been around the block longer than we have feel this way. I just feel like the improvements that have been made since we bought our 2012 are incredible in the travel trailer area.
I think there's something
area.
That you said, though, for the fact that just now we're aware of what it feels like to live in an RV, where when you're a first-time buyer, it's very difficult to understand all of those daily things that are going to come up that are going to be little hurdles for you to jump over. Now, this also has a drop-down
It has
bunk,
the drop-down.
Right?
I think they call it a studio loft bunk, which drops down over the driving area.
Okay.
So to me, like, I would call that a dedicated bed because you're not really using it for anything else, even though you have to drop it down. So
we would never get a Class A without that.
No way, because we need three, you know, we want three beds. So you got your two bunks, and then you got the bed that drops down. Now, I also like the seating arrangement here. Okay, so you have a dinette on the curbside as part of the slide. You have a nice, comfortable, fairly spacious couch on the door side. And then the two seats, the driver's seat and the passenger seat, swivel around and become part of the floor plan. So you kind of have like this circular seating arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
So look, it was a great floor plan. It was spacious. It was something we could buy. It was something
and
we could use and like.
For people who watch TV in their RV, the TV in this one, in the Winnebago, the TV location is by the dinette, which a lot of people are liking now. Some of them are putting it in the like the drop down.
Was this
that
a drop down? I don't remember.
I don't remember
I think
if this
it was.
One dropped down, so I didn't want to say that it did, but a lot of the Winnebagos
they
are
slide
doing
down.
That.
I think this one did too.
So they have that by the dinette a lot, and then the couch is on the opposite side. So again, you can sit on the couch and look directly at the TV. Whereas on the Class C, the Four Winds, the TV is over the couch, right? Oh, no. Over the sleeping area, the bunk, the cab over
it
bunk.
It swings out
so
on the arm.
It swings out.
Right.
So no matter where you're sitting on the dinette or on the couch, you're going to be looking. You're craning
your
neck.
Well, I also don't necessarily love that swing out TV that's up in one of the beds the boys are going to be using. I see somebody kicking it in the middle of the night, or just like, I don't want them to have a huge TV right in their bed.
In their bed, yeah.
Now, this Winnebago Vista, it comes in at a pretty bargain price point for a Class A. It's obviously Class A gas. It's not entry level, but it's not one of the most luxurious Winnebagos you're going to find. And it MSRP is for $112.
Okay.
So, again, it seemed reasonably priced. I also liked the styling of the outside. It was a little more it didn't
subtle.
Didn't have all the swooshes and swirls.
No,
I thought
they
it had a pretty stylish
a
exterior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
Those are our picks.
Those are our six RV picks.
Yeah.
For 2016. We'll be back in a second with a great little segment on
unpacking.
You heard her right. Yeah. Unpacking.
It's nobody's favorite topic, but we'll address it anyway.
But it's important, and we've learned some things over this last year. So join us a second. So we hope you enjoyed our featured topic, six RV picks for 2016. We would love to hear what your favorite picks are out of all the new models coming out. But, you know, once you buy a new unit and you take it out and you go camping in it and you come back home, you got to unpack.
Look, it's not everybody's favorite part. That's for sure.
It's not my favorite part.
We did back in the spring. It was the start of the RV season, and we actually did a whole episode. It was called Pack Up Those Kids. And the episode was on packing tips and just some things that we've learned over the years to make it easier to get on the road and actually enjoying your trip.
And we're getting quicker and quicker, thanks to you, and more efficient.
Well, I like to hone the process. So then we actually got a lot of response from that. And many people were saying, well, how about unpacking? And it was said in a joking way. But at the same time, I do think there are some things that we can do. And some people have weighed in over the past month. We've had listeners that have emailed us with some things they do to make unpacking
a little
easier. Well,
and look, if you do it right, your RV's ready for the next trip.
Yes.
If you do it wrong, your RV's a disaster.
Oh, and then what happens is that, like, that rolls into your packing, right? So packing isn't just about getting ready for the next trip. It's also, like, almost cleaning up
that
from your
last That was so
one.
Philosophical.
Yeah.
As if there's, like, this huge circle of life.
Big picture.
This whole circle of RV
big
living.
Big picture.
So what's your first tip for unpacking? And to me, I think it's the most important one.
It is the most important one. It's something that we have talked about on this podcast over the past year quite a bit. We are learning how to hold our kids responsible for within our traveling, right? At the campground, giving them setup chores, in the camper, keeping them cleaning up after
and
themselves.
And just like us, they're more excited to help with setting up.
Mm-hmm.
The boys, including Wes, they all love to put down the stability jacks and just help me with some of those basics, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
But they're less willing to help us unpack. But they need, because they're capable of helping us. They need to.
I saw one of those silly things that pops up on Facebook. I saw one the other day that said something about, like, if your kid can work the video games, they can work the washing machine. And hello, that's the problem, is that we just, in this generation, I think as parents, we have dumbed things down for our kids. We haven't held them accountable for doing simple chores and tasks.
We're servants.
We are. We're treating ourselves that way. It's not their fault we're treating ourselves that way. It's ours. So that's something that we have sort of, we've made an effort this past summer, especially, to make sure that our kids are involved in the responsibilities.
And bringing in their own stuff.
Yes.
For instance, bringing in their own beds, their own pillows, their own toys. And it's not like we've been giving them a long and overwhelming list, but it's just like, hey, you need to be responsible for your stuff. Now, I have to say, we had a little window where we slacked.
Yes,
and we
did.
Were letting them off the hook. And then you were like, wait a second.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm.
We had them unpacking at the beginning of the summer. What happened? We got lazy.
We got lazy.
And then the last few trips, we really have been holding them accountable to help and help right away.
It's easier to do it yourself sometimes. And we can't do that as parents. We can't say it's easier for me to do it here. Go watch TV. You haven't been in front of the TV for the whole trip. Go watch TV. We'll unpack. No. All hands on deck. We all had fun on vacation. We're all cleaning up. And we've got our kids. They bring in their bedding. They bring in their packing cubes. They bring in their books, their toys. We give them a checklist and they're bringing
Let's face it. As parents, we all make some really bad decisions because we don't want to hear our kids whine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and to me, it's like, no whining. Go get your bed stuff. Go get your stuffed animals. Go get your toys. Get them in your bedroom. And then you can go do something you want to do.
Our two-year-old shows. This is like our two-year-old.
Oh, Wesley wants to drive the camper to the campground.
He does as much unpacking as they do. So I have to direct it. I have to tell him what to do. But hey, all hands on deck. Train them young. Get
Wesley,
them unpacking.
When we were camping in Vermont, Wesley likes to put down the stability jacks.
Yeah.
And he knows how to put down the stability jacks. He's two.
Mm-hmm.
I let him put down the stability jacks. And this woman was walking past our campsite and she said, "Sir, he's pressing one of the buttons." Because I was on the other side of the camper. And I said, "Ma'am, thank you. I appreciate it. But I know he's allowed to help."
Yeah.
And she looked flummoxed by this.
Yeah. She didn't think you were exhibiting good parenting skills, but that's okay. We were there. We knew exactly what was going on. He had been told to go do his job and he was doing it. So anyway, make your kids unpack. That's our top tip. Okay. Do not let them just disperse to the winds. Number two. We've talked about our pop-up laundry bins that we just get from Camping World. They are so
cheap. $10.
But back when we were doing RV organization, we talked about this. We put them on one of our like gear guides too because they're so helpful. And what I've learned is that if you load up all the dirty laundry that is going to be restocked in the house in one – and then load up the other one with the dirty laundry that is going to go back out to the camper. It keeps it easier in the laundry pile. The towels, the sheets, anything like that, strip those beds, put it in one pop-up laundry bin, because then if you do all of those in one load, it's easy to wash, fold, and put back in the camper.
And we use those bins all throughout the trip for the dirty laundry and for other things.
Yeah, yeah. And I would
don't
say,
overload them.
No, right, we do that all the time too. But you know what? They're so cheap. We just replace them if we break them, whatever. But the thing is, another tip that I learned over the summer on our longer trips with laundry. A few times I actually did the laundry before we came home. when we were on a longer trip. I wouldn't recommend that on a shorter trip. Enjoy your time. But when we were on a two-week trip, we were at a campground. You know what? I did. I went and I did all of the laundry, and then we came home with clean laundry.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Little tip there.
That is a true act of discipline. I don't know if I could recommend that to anybody.
I know. I hesitate to recommend it to people. Like, are you crazy doing your laundry? But you know what? It was nice
it
to
was
come
nice
home and just put away all
because we all know, you come
laundry.
Home and like after yeah. a long trip, like everything's dirty. You have yeah. nothing to wear. So that was very
yeah.
nice.
It worked
you did
for
that.
Us a couple times because we were traveling so much. Okay. So number three, establish a camper return spot in the house. So a lot of the time things come in like towels, blankets, things, bowls or cups or things that were in maybe the truck, and they end up in the house, but they belong in the camper. Have a spot. I have one over like on our coffee station, and I put things there once they've gone through the
yeah,
dishwasher.
It's a great spot too because you see them every time you walk into the garage, and it's like, okay, that's got to go out to the RV.
That has to go out to the RV so that you know that that stuff has to go out to the RV.
It's like a mind game you play with me.
It doesn't. None of my mind games work. I try.
This one works. Stop it. No, I do. I see the stuff, and I'll carry out things. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like I'll bring right. one little load here, one little load there, and then by you know after 3 days, it's all back out in the
yeah.
RV.
All right, so that's number three. Number four I have, if you read my blog post a little while back on restocking, restock when you get home. Again, it doesn't feel good, but it will feel so good for your next trip. You get home, you have that list. Remember, I have the whiteboard in the camper. Some people have their app lists on their phone, whatever. If you need shampoo, go and put the shampoo in there now while you're remembering.
It's a great
it.
Feeling when you're packing the next time to just be able to do it quickly and
you
to have things
ready
to go.
Mm-hmm. And so number that was number four.
That was number four.
Number four. Number five, vacuum all the crumbs up and get all the food out of
now,
your camper,
I want
people.
You to say
enough
right
of the
now
you do that.
On RVFTA,
you do
that.
That
I vacuum the camper
you do.
Every time.
You do.
Now. I don't always do it the night we get back, but you are so right. When I do it right when we get back, just break out the vacuum, vacuum it mm-hmm. up. I'm so much happier because the RV's not sitting there gross all week.
Yeah.
You know, and look, we have a lot of food on the floor of our, by the time a trip is over, there's like a whole bowl of Cheerios on the floor.
Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah, there's just food everywhere. I'm
it
sorry.
It's
just
filthy.
It's filthy. It's embarrassing.
It's this toddler frat party that happens in
our
You
don't farm. Want that food sitting out in the no. RV for days. That could attract
people
mice
talk
or rats.
About mice
yeah.
right, and all that stuff.
You need to vacuum right away.
And some people leave certain food items in their pantry and everything. And I would just say, it's not worth it. Load up a bin and bring it in the house and put your food away. Even if you have pantry items you keep in a separate bin and you just put like whatever somewhere in your house away from your camper, do not leave that stuff in your RV. You're inviting vermin.
And look, everybody's tired when you get home from a trip and you don't want to work, but you can do for us, don't we do all this in an hour or less?
Yeah, if we're
like,
good
if
at
we
it
just
and
move,
we're focused.
It's done in an hour and the RV is ready to go for the next trip.
We don't always follow all these tips.
I'd say we're following about 75% to 80%
yeah,
of the time.
Sometimes we get lazy and then we pay the price.
It's not just lazy. Sometimes we are literally exhausted yeah. when we get home, or we get home too late.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know, if you get home too late, you get home too late.
All right. And my last tip, don't sit down until you're done. If you sit down,
it's over.
It's over.
Game over.
Done.
For me, it's over.
It is.
Once I sit down, I'm not vacuuming.
Don't you? Sometimes you go to like sort through the mail and I look at you like, no, stop. No sorting through the mail. Like, you have to follow the program. You have to follow the program. Otherwise, forget it. Everybody's on the couch, tired after a day of travel,
yeah.
and the camper's gross. So don't do it. So follow those quick tips. It's not always easy, but you will feel so good.
If you have any great tips for unpacking, mm-hmm. for how you make the process go a little bit more quickly, a little bit more smoothly, a little bit more efficiently, drop us a note. If you have a hot pick in an RV for 2016, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah,
okay?
We would. Yeah, we'd love to share that with everybody else.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back in a second to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of RVFTA. We would not have a podcast if you weren't out there listening, and we really appreciate it. Hey, by the way,
RV Trader has all the tools you need to find or sell your RV. To start your search today, visit rvtrader.com. And thanks to the good folks at rvtrader.com for being a sponsor on the podcast.
Yeah. And you're going to join us next week, right? Because you are going to hear all about my DIY project to turn our travel trailer into a Serenity model with a salsa interior.
Like salsa dumped on the interior or like salsa colored interior?
Stay tuned to find out.
All right, next week on Men and Their Rigs, our brand new podcast all about men and their rigs. Join us. Vroom, vroom. Join us for a complete episode in two segments. First segment, all about pulled pork. Second segment, all about the black tank. Join us next week on Men and Their Rigs. Stephanie just totally grimaced and like vomited inside her mouth a little bit. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Join us next week.